You're listening to the Charge Forward audio blog by Chargebacks 911, bringing you the latest in payments and fraud. To learn more about how Chargebacks 911 can help you reduce chargebacks and recover revenue lost to fraud, visit us online at chargebacks911.com.
This episode is a replay of a webinar entitled The Keys to a Winning Chargeback Prevention Strategy, featuring Jared Wright and Ben Scrancher from Chargebacks 911.
Let me start by introducing the presenters of today's webinar. My name is Jared Wright. I'm the marketing director here at Chargebacks 911. Also speaking today is Ben Scrancher, who is our client relations director. The first key to developing a winning chargeback prevention strategy is understanding the true source of your chargebacks. Preventing chargebacks requires a custom strategy that is unique to each business. Knowing what issues are causing chargebacks in your business is important so that you can implement the right strategy. Otherwise, you may find that you're using the wrong tools to solve your problem. You're with a machine gun. Let me show you what I mean. The first thing everyone should understand is that chargebacks occur for three primary reasons. Criminal fraud, things like stolen credit cards and identity theft. Merchant error, which includes things like unshipped items, false advertising, essentially, and any issue where the merchant is primarily at fault. And friendly fraud, which in simplest of terms means that a consumer filed an illegitimate chargeback, either intentionally or unintentionally. We often see that the first step a business takes to resolve an issue with chargebacks is addressing criminal fraud. It seems like the lowest hanging fruit and seems like the most obvious cause of the problem. This is primarily for two reasons. One, the most common reason given by consumers when filing a chargeback is reason code 83, which indicates fraudulent use of their card. The second reason is that chargebacks were designed specifically to protect consumers from fraud. So most chargebacks should result as criminal fraud, right? What businesses usually find is that the preventing criminal fraud actually has a small impact on the overall number of chargebacks. This is because criminal fraud is not the primary source of chargebacks. It is important that merchants develop a strategy that looks at the reason behind the reason code. This is because while reason codes can be used as indicators of a chargeback source, they are often misleading. There are some instances of friendly fraud behind every reason code. What we found time and time again in working with merchants, the chargeback sources are actually more like this. It turns out that in most cases, criminal fraud accounts for a much smaller number of the overall chargebacks. Businesses that implement high-friction fraud filters may be negatively impacting their bottom line without effectively addressing their chargeback issues. I would be willing to guess that many of you on this webinar have already figured that out, but in fact, this problem may be worse than you think. A recent study released by Vesta and Javelin Research entitled "The Impact of Fraud on Chargeback Management and Operations" found that, quote, the total amount lost due to false declines in 2014, $118 billion, was vastly greater than the total amount lost due to actual card fraud, $9 billion. What this means is essentially that merchants literally lost out on $118 billion in revenue in an attempt to solve a $9 billion problem. This is what we mean when we say don't fight ants with a machine gun. Now, we aren't saying that criminal fraud isn't a real issue and isn't something that you should address. We simply want to encourage you to make sure that you have a clear understanding of the real reasons you're receiving your chargebacks. Our Intelligent Source Detection product, which we'll talk about a little bit later in this webinar, is aimed at detecting the real reasons merchants experience chargebacks. And while this picture is much more accurate, it doesn't tell the whole story either. That's because most chargebacks contain some element of merchant error and some element of friendly fraud. So let's rename the extreme cases. Merchant fraud and chargeback fraud. Everything else is essentially an improperly redressed dispute between the consumer and the merchant. Filing a chargeback was not the right thing for the consumer to do, but there may have also been something that the merchant could have done differently to prevent the chargeback in the first place. Now let's look at that same Venn diagram as a spectrum and say that all chargebacks that happen not as a result of criminal fraud fall somewhere along this spectrum. All the chargebacks on the left of the spectrum are preventable. The merchant can make changes to reduce that type of chargeback. And all the chargebacks on the right side of the spectrum are representable or representable. The merchant will likely win a properly documented dispute. In cases of extremes, for example, a merchant processes a payment without providing a product, or on the other end of the spectrum, a consumer files a chargeback in an attempt to get something for free, merchants will only have one option. But in many cases, merchants will have a decision to make. And this brings me to my next key, and that is that chargeback prevention is not always the right strategy. I know that this is a chargeback prevention webinar, but the truth is that sometimes it's just better to fight the chargebacks. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're marketing a cologne and your slogan is, "Our cologne makes you irresistible to women." A purely chargeback prevention strategy would dictate that you should change your slogan to something more like, "Our cologne smells pretty good unless you use too much." The second slogan would certainly help control customer expectation levels, but probably wouldn't have a great impact on your sales. Now let's look at some more less extreme examples. The merchant does not clearly disclose terms of a membership or recurring billing agreement. Merchants need to decide how visibly they like to disclose the terms of a recurring billing agreement. Not telling people you're going to rebill them would certainly increase sales, but it would also drastically increase chargebacks. Conversely, it's definitely possible to inhibit conversions with too much disclosure. Merchants need to identify the right balance. The merchant does not ship product within an estimated time frame and does not notify the consumer of delays. Amazon and other large retailers have conditioned consumers, including myself, to expect fast shipping. This puts a lot of pressure on some small and medium businesses who don't have the infrastructure to compete. The faster you ship and the more you notify customers as the order is processed, the fewer chargebacks you will receive. But businesses need to decide if investing in order processing infrastructure makes sense for them, or if shipping estimates should be just that, estimates. The merchant does not promptly respond to a cancellation or refund request. Adding friction to your checkout process never makes sense, but sometimes adding friction to your cancellation process does. Merchants need to decide how difficult they want to make it for their customers to cancel a membership or be issued a refund. The more difficult they make it, the more likely the consumer is to file a chargeback. The next example is of a consumer who is unable to easily contact the merchant to inquire about issues. Providing 24-hour customer support by phone, chat, and email is the best option for businesses wanting to reduce chargebacks. Things like responding to emails within a few hours and having a live person answer your phone will help prevent a lot of chargebacks, but that level of customer support requires an investment that may not make sense for your business. No matter how prominently you display the terms of your purchase, some customers will not read them. To what lengths should you go to make sure every customer fully understands the terms of a purchase? And the final example is a customer does not want to go through a complicated return process. And the truth is that some customers just don't return products they buy online. Not when filing a chargeback is the easier option. Merchants need to decide how strict their return policy is going to be. They may even want to consider issuing refunds without requiring a return at all. The next key to chargeback prevention is simply use the tools that are at your disposal. Today we're going to focus primarily on two of the three sources of chargebacks. We're not going to fully address criminal fraud in this webinar, mainly because focusing extensively on criminal fraud isn't the best way to reduce overall chargeback rates. But we do, as I mentioned before, recommend taking some action to reduce your exposure to criminal fraud, using tools like address verification, 3D secure, and any of the various fraud filters is usually a good idea for most businesses. One tool that we do definitely recommend as being effective for preventing chargebacks are chargeback alerts. We'll talk about these in greater detail in the webinar, but essentially alerts allow merchants the opportunity to refund a certain charge before they become chargebacks. Alerts aren't typically by themselves the complete solution that most merchants are seeking, but they are a very effective way to prevent some chargebacks. If you are not yet taking advantage of alerts, we strongly recommend that you consider using this tool. And this next key to preventing chargebacks is a seemingly simple one. There are several very specific chargeback prevention tips that can all be summed up in one statement, and that is just do good business. We aren't going to go into great detail on all of these tips because the struggles of businesses are very different. Plus, you most likely already know what's expected of you from the card networks, banks, and your consumers. But common sense would dictate that you need to do a few basic things to reduce the risk of chargebacks. Market products honestly. Don't sell anything that is counterfeit or low quality without saying that it's counterfeit. Make sure orders are being fulfilled and shipped like you said that they would. Have customer-friendly policies. The least restrictive, the better. And make sure your billing descriptors make it easy for your customers to recognize the charge on their bank statement. This is kind of an important one. But the most important is make customers happy. Happy customers usually don't file chargebacks. Take each of these ideas and break it down. Your business is unique, unlike any other. So what do you need to do good business? Maybe you need to rewrite a few of your marketing campaigns that are borderline deceptive. Or maybe your online product descriptions need more detail. Sometimes it's difficult to be objective. If you're struggling to identify the areas of weakness within your business, an outside perspective can help you see things more clearly. The next key is sometimes a less obvious one. Businesses often worry about the impact that poor reviews will have on sales. But we found that poor online reputation can also significantly increase the number of chargebacks a business receives. Consumers who are questioning a purchase they made might go online to better evaluate the situation. What will they find? Will they be met with overwhelmingly negative reviews and feedback about your business? If your reputation has been online, you will receive more chargebacks, period. The negative opinions of others will convince cardholders who are on the verge of dissatisfaction that you are untrustworthy, and filing a chargeback is the logical solution. After all, they've obviously been ripped off, just like everybody else complaining online. Improving and maintaining your online reputations means fewer chargebacks. There are various methods of improving your business reputation, from publicly making amends with angry customers on Facebook to sharing positive testimonials from loyal clients. But the best reputation management strategy is implemented before issues arise. Once negative reviews start appearing online, they can be much harder to deal with. Successfully fighting chargebacks can reduce the number of chargebacks that you receive. This is important, so let me say this again. Successfully fighting chargebacks reduce the number of chargebacks that you receive. Chargeback disputes are processed by humans. The departments that handle chargeback disputes within issuing banks are relatively small. It's therefore easier than most merchants expect to develop a reputation within these departments. If a merchant accepts chargebacks without a fight, banks may assume that the merchant is guilty and not exercise their due diligence when customers file a chargeback. Conversely, if a merchant has a history of fighting and winning chargebacks, banks will go to greater lengths to verify the legitimacy of a chargeback. Representment is a time-consuming and labor-intensive task for everyone involved, including banks. Earn the reputation of a fighter among issuing banks. Set the precedence. Make it known that chargebacks won't be undisputed. Banks will be more cautious about honoring the cardholder's request in the first place. More due diligence will be executed, and fewer chargebacks will be filed. With friendly fraud on the rise, merchants will likely soon find that implementing an effective representment strategy will be unavoidable. And finally, the best key to chargeback prevention is hiring Chargebacks 911. If you came to this webinar today looking for a magic bullet solution, you found it. Chargebacks 911 is as close as you are going to get to a magic bullet solution. With that, I'm going to hand the presentation over to Ben Scrancher, who's our Client Relations Director.
Hey, thanks, Jared. So I'm Ben. I work with our existing clients here. So I just want to jump on and give you guys some insight into how we achieve what we're looking to achieve and how we work with our clients to identify the source of their chargebacks, reduce chargebacks over the long term, and help recover revenue from the chargebacks that they're getting through the dispute process. So, as Jared explained, we believe there's three sources of chargebacks: friendly fraud, criminal fraud, and merchant error. I want to take you through how we identify each of those different types of chargeback, how we prevent the chargebacks that we can using some of the tools that we have at our disposal, and then how we correctly identify the chargebacks that are coming through and fight the ones as effectively as we can to maintain as high a win ratio as possible. So, you know, we've fought millions of chargebacks here at Chargebacks 911, and through doing that, we've correctly identified, using some of our technology, the reasons that they occur. So, walking through those three reasons, so criminal fraud, so chargebacks that were filed as a result of someone using a stolen credit card to purchase goods or services online. So, one of the tools that we've got at our disposal to help mitigate some of those chargebacks is our alerts. So, think of an alert as a preemptive notification of a chargeback occurring. So, an alert will come through. It gives you an opportunity to refund the transaction that was placed in full to avoid the chargeback and also to avoid the chargeback statistic. So, the alerts are good if you're running slightly high on a chargeback ratio to help mitigate the chargeback count and that counting against your ratio with Visa and MasterCard. So a very good tool if chargebacks are an issue from a risk point of view. We'll look at data and we advise our clients on the data that they've got in terms of how many chargebacks they're getting, how many transactions they've got, and we'll advise whether the alerts product would be a suitable product for you. So we give a lot of advice as to whether there'd be a good product or whether there'd be an expense that would not be financially viable. The second biggest cause of chargebacks is merchant error. So that's something that the merchant is doing unknowingly to increase their risk of chargebacks. So put very simply, if you don't answer the phone at customer service, you're going to get more chargebacks. If you don't ship product in a timely manner, you're going to get more chargebacks. So we have a few tools that I'll take you through in terms of how we deal with those. We have a quarterly analysis review that we do every 90 days for all of our for all of our customers. And what we're looking to do there is compare a client's data in terms of their own data that they've got over the last quarter to our aggregate data for that same period by industry and show you where you outlie. So are you getting too many chargebacks come through with the reason code refund not processed? That would indicate to us that there may be an issue with refunds getting to customers in a timely manner. We have an account management team and a risk management team that go through all of these reports with you every quarter to help identify where those statistics may outlie so that you can improve moving forward. So this is just some snippets of some of the quarterly analysis reports that we go through. They're about a 15 to 20 page document in terms of a PDF that's talked through by one of our account managers on a phone call with your team. We have a load of data that's behind that, which we give you full access to. And what we're really looking to do here, as I said, is identify all of the reasons that chargebacks occurred. We have some QC metrics that we track in terms of, you know, the number of customers that contacted customer service before they filed chargebacks and that sort of thing. And we're looking to identify, you know, do you have any issues with any particular area that we can help identify what may be causing that and then suggest operational changes that you can make to your business to help mitigate those chargebacks going forward. It's a very cost-effective way of reducing chargebacks. And also it's organic, it's part of your business, it's small tweaks that you can make over a period of time to reduce the risk of chargebacks. The trouble is trying to look at the data that you have on chargebacks for yourself just as a merchant, you've got nothing to compare it to, so you don't know what normal is, so you don't know, you know, the percentage of chargebacks that you've got coming through as fraudulent transactions, for example. Is that normal? You know, are you getting too many, are you not getting enough? We know what those statistics should be, so we can educate you as to whether you're normal or whether you outlie, and then what to do to help fix that. All of our clients also have access at any time they like to our client portal. So our client portal has one page that I'm showing you here, just based on some basic reports that are filterable either by chargeback date or transaction date. So I'll just take you through some of the some of the reports that you see here and how we use those to help mitigate chargeback risk. So working from top left to bottom right, you've got the percentage of chargebacks by transaction month. So it's very normal that chargebacks occur 30 to 45 days after a transaction takes place. By looking at the percentage of chargebacks by transaction month, for example, we can say, okay, in November, where did your transactions that turned into chargebacks come from? Now, it would be normal that those chargebacks would come as a result of transactions that took place in October. So if we see that statistic drop massively or conversely increase massively, then that would indicate certain things to us. Percentage of chargebacks by transaction amount will just tell you what ticket price are your chargebacks coming through at on average. It's very normal that the average chargeback amount is very similar to the average transaction amount. You know, if your average chargeback amount was $5 and your average transaction amount was $80, that would be a strange statistic. Percentage of chargebacks by card type should be very closely aligned with your processing volume. So you would expect 65% Visa, 35% MasterCard, a small slither of Discover and Amex to be present there. Chargeback trend by chargeback date. Chargebacks should come through fairly consistently week to week. So when you're looking at chargeback trend by chargeback date, you should see that to be a fairly smooth line. You know, if it's coming through in peaks and troughs, that's not normal. That would indicate certain things to us, and a risk manager would speak to your account manager, get on the phone, and make some advice, give you some advice on how to fix that. Chargeback trend by transaction date is just a more granular version of the report on the top left, so it just breaks it down into days, so you can get a more granular view on that. If you offer recurring payments, Netflix, for example, are the chargebacks coming through on the initial charge, or are they coming through on future subscription charges? Percentage of chargebacks by processor. Are the chargebacks coming through very closely aligned with where you process with? If you have more than one merchant account, what processing solutions are your chargebacks coming through on? Percentage of chargebacks by BIN. So BIN is something that we track very closely. So there's a couple of things. So BIN is the first six digits of the cardholder who's filed the chargeback against you. It can help us identify what issuers may be targeting you for chargebacks. And also with the representments that we do, so the representments of the chargeback disputes, over time, we want to track that certain issuers are decreasing the number of chargebacks that they were filing against you, which would indicate a reputational improvement with that issuer. And then if you have domestic and offshore processing solutions, where are your chargebacks coming through on? Are they coming through on domestic transactions or offshore transactions? So that's the pie chart in the bottom right. This next graph is another cool report on the client portal, resultant chargebacks. So by definition, a chargeback occurs after a transaction occurs. So what this report does is it maps back chargebacks that have occurred against the transactions they originated from. So let's say in September, you took a load of transactions that turned into chargebacks in October, November, December. What this report's going to do is, let's say you took 1,000 transactions in September and 100 of those transactions turned into chargebacks, it's going to map those chargebacks back against the original 1,000 transactions that you took in September and give you a resultant chargeback ratio. So you can see from the traffic that you took in September, what was your chargeback ratio as a result of those transactions? Really useful report. We also have a daily report that gets pushed to all of our clients. So this report will show you for each merchant account that you have loaded in our system, if you have more than one, it's going to show you how many dollars you've run through each merchant account, how many transactions you've run through each merchant account, how many chargebacks have come in to each merchant account month to date. So it runs the first of the month to the third of the month, for example, if we were looking at today's report. What is your chargeback percentage? How many of those chargebacks were from Visa transactions? How many were from MasterCard? So you can really break down by Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and Discover what your risk profile looks like per merchant account on each of those different card schemes. So very, very useful report in terms of dashboard, in terms of looking at risk per merchant account. And we push that to every single client by email every day as an image file. So you haven't even got to log into your portal to see that. We built the portal because our clients asked for it, and we have some cool functionality on there. But the month-to-date report, you know, everyone wants it pushed to them every day because it's a report that you'll want to look at every single day. So that's how we get over some of the merchant error chargebacks. Our whole goal being to reduce the number of chargebacks that you're causing yourself over the long term so that you can grow your business sustainably. The biggest cause of chargebacks is friendly fraud. So that is chargebacks that are filed with no merit in the first place. It's a customer looking to force a refund through the chargeback cycle. Now, when you realize that most chargebacks come as a result of friendly fraud, and you try and work out why that's happening, people will think it's a consumer issue. We believe fundamentally that it's an issuing bank problem, that the issuing banks are allowing chargebacks to be filed too quickly, and as a result, merchants are being punished. So if you think about that, then the only way to actually fight back and put pressure back against the issuers is to dispute as many of those chargebacks frivolously filed against you as possible and win as many as possible. So intelligent source detection helps us identify chargebacks that come through, what the reason behind the reason code is. So chargeback can come through labeled as criminal fraud, reason code 83, for example. A lot of merchants will be scared of fighting that if they're doing chargeback disputes, representments in-house, because they see that as criminal fraud. Why would you fight that? It's criminal fraud. You don't want to fight a cardholder that's had their card stolen, and you know, you can never win it. So what intelligent source detection does is help us identify chargebacks that come through, whether it is criminal fraud or it's just an example of friendly fraud. And if it is an example of friendly fraud, and that's what our technology says, then we will dispute that, and we will aim to win it. So not only does intelligent source detection help us identify the reason behind the reason code and allow us to fight more chargebacks, it helps us, which helps us win as many as possible. So it's improving the reputation that you have at issuers to help discourage them filing so many chargebacks against you over the long term, but also recover as much revenue as possible. So, and that's what we do through the representment. So the representment is the chargeback dispute. So that's when a chargeback occurs. If you want to dispute it, that's called a representment. So our whole goal here is to win as many of those disputes as possible so that you're not suffering financial loss through the chargeback cycle. So we put together very strong cases with all of the cases that we pull and work on, and we guarantee a win rate. So we have a performance guarantee that says you doing business with us and us doing your chargeback disputes will result in a positive return on investment just for doing business with us. So just for doing the chargeback representments, you will make money. So the way that works, just to give you an idea, let's say that we offer a 40% guarantee on a $100 transaction. 10 chargebacks come through. It's $1,000 in chargeback exposure. We're going to guarantee to recover $400 of that $1,000. And you're going to pay us roughly 15%. So you're going to pay us roughly $150 for that. So you're guaranteed a $250 uplift just on that simple maths, just for doing the representments with us. We have some other tools at our disposal as well. So to help with some of the criminal fraud, if you take affiliate-based traffic, then sometimes it's difficult to identify, you know, what are the fraudulent transactions versus the ones that may have come as a result of incentive-based traffic, affiliate-based traffic, CPA traffic, for example. So we've developed a tool called Affiliate Fraud Shield that after the transaction takes place, so the Affiliate Fraud Shield works post-transaction, we will scrub those orders and we will advise you of any orders that are likely to turn into a chargeback and advise you to refund those orders before you ship the product. So a useful tool in one, identifying, you know, what traffic sources may be less desirable, but also reducing the risk of chargeback exposure. So you know, what makes us different in terms of the representments that we do and all of the services that we do? We have a completely custom solution. We provide you with very detailed reporting, both on why your chargebacks are occurring and what you can do to help mitigate them, and on the disputes that we do, what's our win ratio? How many of the disputes that we're fighting are we winning? What's your return on investment? You pay per dispute that we do, so you only pay when we dispute. We have a very high touch relationship with all of our clients. You know, I work with our clients on a daily basis, speaking to them throughout the day, advising on strategies that we can use and data points that we can look at to help mitigate chargeback risk. What's really valuable is the huge data set that we've got on why chargebacks occur, and we can advise where that data outlies and then what specific examples could be causing chargebacks and how we mitigate those moving forward. Our core focus is chargebacks. You know, when you set out to sell online, you don't set out with the intention of doing chargeback disputes. You want to focus on gaining more customers, building your brand, spending money on advertising. You don't want your focus to be shifted away to how to dispute chargebacks. We believe it's a science in itself. We have a department set up, Card Scheme Compliance, purely to look at the regulations with Visa and MasterCard and specifically adjust the disputes that we do so that we maintain as high a win rate as possible. So I hope that's given you some insight into how we work on a day-to-day basis with our clients to achieve what we're looking to achieve with the services that we do. And I'm going to pass over now to the question and answer session with our co-founder, Monica Eaton.
Seconds.